Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm JC. Welcome to Can Rock and Roll Save America? It's 8:30 a.m. on Friday, November 4. We have 4 days until the election, and I want to thank you for joining us. We're trying today to look at a couple of things. A little bit of general news and then disruption, the topic of disruption, how songs can take a surrealist perspective or something like that. It's quite popular in rock and roll. Rock and roll has a lot of theater elements in the performance side of it, live performances, masks, makeup, enactments on stage. This is the kind of thing that can, in a positive way, hopefully, disrupt our thinking, our sense of where we are, the time we live in. These things can transport us into the world of imagination or dreams, which can be both disconcerting or uplifting, and expand our ways of dealing with the world and the problems we face. So these are some things I'd like to talk about, and maybe today or maybe later this today, maybe around noon when we may do our next show. Things are a little bit up in the air. We're moving very quickly to put this project together, so apologies if things are not smoothly planned out. No one planned this shockingly disruptive last 10 days of the presidential election cycle. It's got a lot of people shaken up, and on both sides. So we're trying to be at least a small part of the positive force that might bring some new voices into the public arena in a very special way through music and song, that we might in that way be able to help address this situation in a constructive way for many, many people. Not through anything I would do so much or the people working on this project, but by finding some of the great musicians out there who maybe haven't seen things from our perspective. They maybe have not perceived that they could actually write a song quickly, be one or two or three of hundreds of people who might do this if we get the internet to go viral with some of our message. And then we'd have dozens or even hundreds of songwriters working even in the last few days before the election, to put out there some brand new powerful messages that could be circulated very quickly on the internet. That's the era we live in. It's high speed. So it's really not constructive to say this is crazy, this won't work. And I think rock and roll is the arena very much like the digital startup arena, where, you know, enormous changes at the last minute can happen effectively. I may have mentioned before that phrase, enormous changes at the last minute, is the title of a book of short stories by a women's rights advocate author, fiction writer in the 70s. A great title. I've always loved that title, and it applies very much today, that we are in a world where there can be enormous changes at the last minute. And sometimes that's a waste of time. Haste makes waste, but sometimes it's just what you need. You have to move fast. And things are disrupted. Again, our topic today is disruption. And it might be the topic for next two or three episodes here. I did want to say again that I'd like to share a little bit of news, and political news rather, and tie that to our project as that news unfolds. So last night I was listening to MSNBC. I think sometimes it's a great news station and sometimes they're not reporting the facts. Maybe they're reporting the facts as they see them. But there's huge debates, for example, right now. The Hillary Clinton campaign claims that the Russians have hacked into our servers in this country, that this is solid knowledge, it's well proven, that 17 agencies say this is exactly where these leaked emails come from. It's through hacks initiated by Putin and the Russians. Julian Assange says this is not the case at all, that this is something that the Clintons are doing to place blame on a traditional enemy of ours that's easy to demonize. It's something people are ready to do. They want an enemy. They want an easy way to say it's all the Russians' fault, and that deflects attention from the scandal that seems to be about corrupt for the Clintons. I think it's very hard to tell who's telling the truth. There's certainly confusion in all this, and at the same time, there's people who are lying, and we know that. Probably on both sides of this campaign, there is a great deal of lying going on. These two candidates have done things they never should have done. They don't want this exposed when they're trying to win the race, and they're willing to go out of their way to distort the truth or lie in order to preserve their credibility, which is at an all-time record low anyway. But we're talking about the disruptive elements in our political process. And last night we were talking on this show about surrealism and how it plunges us into a dream world, and how the dream world, the world of the unconscious, has been carefully studied by scholars and psychologists who have now been proven by modern neuroscience to be exactly right in most cases in their view of the human psychology, of human psychology and the human psyche. Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, who, although they were adversaries in the last part of their careers, they were great friends in the very beginning of Carl Jung's career, and they shared always certain basic principles about human psychology that Freud had developed and that Jung brilliantly he took the ball and ran with it. He expanded those ideas in extraordinary ways. But the world, we were talking last night about the surrealist song, Desolation Row, of Bob Dylan. It's a brilliant song. It's very difficult to say what the hell it means. In some cases, there's obvious meanings. Of course, the whole thing's open to interpretation. That's the nature of art. In science, we specify what we mean and exactly what we mean, and that's the best way to go usually with science, even though sometimes it's hard to do that, even in the scientific arena. But in the arts, an artist knows that whatever work of art they create might be interpreted in radically different ways. Even in philosophy, Nietzsche's work has been claimed by the Nazis when he detested, he would have detested the Nazis had they existed. It was very clear he hated anti-Semitism. But Nietzsche's work has been interpreted to be left wing, right wing, center, all these things. So back to the disruption. Last night I was listening to MSNBC, and Andrew Sullivan, who was the first out-of-the-closet same-sex-attracted individual to be the editor of such a prominent magazine. It's a political magazine, The New Republic, that in the 90s, this shocked people. It was shocking to see an out-of-the-closet editor at the head of such an old and prestigious publication. But anyway, he was talking, and he said to Chris Hayes, I believe his name is, the commentator, we are in a fascist moment in history in this country. This is true. And he was talking about the Trump campaign and how Trump is now distancing himself adamantly from the KKK. But for a while, most people feel he knew exactly who David Duke was, and he certainly knew what the KKK was, and he seemed to be okay with considering that point of view as a viable political point of view. And this horrified most Americans. But Sullivan was pointing out that what's happened in the last 10 days with the release of Comey, with the reopening of the case against the Clintons, now the spotlight is on the Clintons, both of them, whether that's right or wrong, it is on both of them. They are quite a team. They're hard to separate. And it's certainly on Hillary Clinton. And Sullivan said, if this race is a referendum on the Clintons are going to go down. Because as long as the focus is on Trump, the fear is of Trump, and he's at a negative. But as soon as the focus goes on to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and all that's coming out about that, suddenly erupting from this FBI in revolt, Justice Department in revolt, enormous conflicts are being suddenly exposed. Leaking from the FBI and the Justice Department is occurring at an extraordinary, unprecedented rate. All this just before the election. It's enormously disruptive, and as Sullivan said, he thinks that has a real chance to win this thing, which scares the hell out of most of us. That's why we're working on this project so quickly. But I wanted to go back and talk about Surrealism, Desolation Row, the disruption of reality that happens in Surrealist art, including songs that have a surrealist quality to them. We enter into a dream world, and three of the top songs that come to mind, two of them are about psychedelic drug experience, and one is not outwardly so. That's Desolation Row by Bob Dylan. The other song is Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit, which comes out of the extremely surrealist style of the writing of Lewis Carroll in Alice in Wonderland. Now, this is a children's story. It was published decades before surrealism became a movement in writing and painting in France in the 1920s, I believe, about that time. So Alice in Wonderland preceded the surrealist era, but it's the dream worlds we're talking about here. And in a way, surrealism has always existed in the art world. The other song is called Break On Through to the Other Side. This is a hit song from the 1960s. It's an anti-drug song, almost the kind of song that you might interpret, if you didn't think too much about it, as a song that presented the drug experience in, I wouldn't say an appealing way, but in a way that raises your curiosity or interest to think, what is this? What's going on here? And so these three songs are three that we'd like to talk about in terms of disruption. And I think one of the fundamental principles of this program, as we try to the world order and rock and roll music, we are trying to understand political and social disruption that is happening in human society and has been for decades and centuries, but at an accelerating pace. The industrial age, the brilliant biography of Adolf Hitler that you might take a look at, since we are, as Andrew Sullivan said, the former editor of the New Republic, we're in a fascist moment in American history right now. It's not unlike the Nazi rise, at least in some ways. I don't think we're quite there, but it's pretty scary. So it's about disruption, and the industrial age was such a tensely disruptive force, industrialization in America and Europe, but especially Europe, that the old regimes, the old orders, were collapsing as the impact of the industrial era took hold in Europe and capitalism got its grip on these governments. And, you know, there's a great things about industrialization, but it is a rough process, and a lot of people get knocked around and run into the gutter. New systems of government had to be put in place that assured people's safety, financial safety, that is physical well-being, safety of their physical well-being and emotional under the impact of these monstrous changes. So again, we had talked about how World War I, then the rise of the Nazis in the 20s in Germany, the ascension to power of the Nazis in the early 30s, and then World War II beginning in the late 30s and going for 5 or 6 years. These were enormous disruptions. And again, the brilliant biographer of Adolf Hitler, Joachim Fest, Joachim Fest. It's probably three biographies of Hitler and the Nazi era that have come into print. And as Fest says so brilliantly, Hitler introduced accelerations in history of extraordinary dimensions. Accelerations in history. That's a powerful term for historians to use. And Hitler did exactly that. And those accelerations are, not those accelerations, but accelerations are still very much a part of history of the coming of the information age. And that's where we are today. It's enormously disruptive, and from all reports, this will expand and continue. People are worn out already. They're exhausted by the pace of change. They don't know what to do. They're confused, and many of them are spiraling downward. It's scary. And the unfortunate thing is this is not going to subside or abate. It's going to accelerate. There will be, according to what I think are the top scholars, we're not going to just pass a turning point and everything goes back to normal as it used to do when there were financial depressions and financial disruptions. After a few years, a year or two, a number of 18 months or so, things began to calm down. We went back to a stable situation and people went back to work and things were pretty good. But this is not going to happen, and that's why we're seeing a fascist moment in American history right now. So those are some thoughts on that. To continue, we're looking at the art world, and I think that the appeal of surrealism or any work of art or musical composition or song that goes into this dream world of surrealism or something like the other universe, the alternative universe presented to us in even children's stories like Alice in Wonderland, is something about that disrupted world that's both liberating and scary. I think this is important, just like dreams. Dreams can be, they're always pretty crazy. Things happen in dreams. We don't know what's going on. But sometimes we have wonderful dreams, such good dreams that we go into the day after we wake just floating on a cloud. And it's almost, or some dreams are divinely sent, people will feel. We're in another world, and it's a world closer, a step closer to paradise. On the other hand, we have what we call nightmares. These are the dark dreams, turbulent, sometimes shocking in their frightening, the power to frighten us. So we've got this very volatile world of dreamlike story power, and some of our great songs come out of this. And I do think, again, that it's a way to think about writing, to just shift gears and get into a fantasy world and see what happens. I want to at least start in on a song by Kenny Rogers, who later became, I think, a purely country music guy and, you know, sort of easy listening music at times. I'm not complaining about that. It's not my style. I do like some country music. It's awesome. It's superb. It's brilliant. I love it. A lot of it, I don't like jazz and blues. There's parts of it I love and parts of it I don't care for. But I say this because Kenny Rogers was young when he sang this song. It's not his song, but he made a hit out of it. He's a very smart guy. It's a psychedelic rock song, I would say, electric rock song, about 1967. And it's totally surrealist in its approach. And I'll read through it. Some of it's kind of, a funny song, if you ask me, although it's shocking and definitely pretty crazy. So here it goes. I'll read these lyrics. It's called "Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In." I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag within. I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole, and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Someone painted "April Fool" in big black letters on a dead-end sign. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. 8 miles out of Memphis and I got no spare. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. So this is a pretty shocking song. We could take a quick look at it more specifically. He wakes up with the sundown shining in. So he's apparently waking up. He thinks it's morning. The sun is on the horizon, but it's actually sundown. So he's disrupted in time, and that's clearly established in the very first line. Line two, I found my mind in a brown paper bag within. That's surrealism to the max. My mind was in a brown bag. Line three, I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. He trips on a cloud. Is he walking through the sky? Apparently so. He's ascended into the sky. This is a metaphor for psychedelic experience. There was a form of LSD called Orange Sunshine, and he fell 8 miles high. 8 miles high is a song about psychedelic experience from The Birds that had a hit song with a song by that name, 8 miles High. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. He's up in the clouds and he trips and he tears his mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in. Now, there's a lot of negative things being said here about psychedelic drug experience. On the blog, I talk about how I think it's important to us, if we're going to talk about rock and roll, psychedelic music is a part of this. Psychedelic experience is a big part of the 1960s. And I think it's extremely important to address the issue and the overall issue of drugs. We live in a time where there's so much distress, alienation, and depression. Take a look at the dark side of the moon, that we might turn to drugs as a remedy. Certainly people turn to prescription drugs. Prozac went wild in its sales. It was enormously profitable. a pill you can take to cure depression, supposedly. It's not so simple. There's all kinds of problems with many of these drugs. This is a big debate, but it circulates in the rock and roll world. Absolutely, we know this. And so we need to address the drug issue. So we're bringing up a whole lot of hot topics here at once. That's what you get into when you get into rock and roll. It goes deep, it's powerful, and it touches controversial issues in human life. We could go back into the second of three verses in Just Dropped In, What Condition My Condition Was In. Verse 2, I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole, and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. This is, again, a pretty scary report of a drug experience. It's pretty clear this is a psychedelic drug experience. And, again, we're going into a deep, dark hole. He's watching himself crawling out as he's crawling in. So he's crawling in and out at the same time. This is the union of opposites. Up is down, in is out, backwards is forward, left is right. This is a disruption of our senses as we enter this other world. And we are watching ourselves. It's the kind of thing where you have maybe an out-of-body experience, as they say. By the way, that was a phrase used by John Lewis, the African-American civil rights leader, now a member of Congress from my home district in Atlanta. But he said that when Obama was elected and a black man, a black individual, an African-American, was now president of the United States, suddenly he said what he called, I had an out-of-body experience. I believe it, these out-of-body experiences are reported by so many people in high-stress circumstances, whether it's negative stress or positive stress. They just feel an altered reality, a peak experience, by an event that's so astonishing, whether for good or bad. It can be either way, but it is earth-shaking and astonishing. So that's something that's going on. Finish up the last verse, 3. Someone painted April Fool in big black letters on a dead-end sign. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. 8 miles out of Memphis, and I got no spare. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I'm not sure if I didn't get confused and read those in the backwards order or whatever. But again, we have the same kind of situation in the final verse here, and it's an unusual end. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. It seems he's having a car crash, but he's got his foot on the gas. And he says, I blew out my mind, or his mind was blown out by the situation, the crash. He's 8 miles out of Memphis. So he's got horizontal and vertical confused. 8 miles out of Memphis, that's horizontal distance, 8 miles straight up. That's vertical, and he's not sure which way is straight up, as we say in English. That's a phrase for being totally out of touch with reality. So this is, a song about a sudden disruption of experience in life and reality for an individual in this psychedelic experience, not unlike what happens in society when enormous forces disrupt our lives. We lose a sense of identity, of time, of direction, know which way is straight up anymore, and it's frightening stuff. So this is how this relates to politics of today. a half hour is up. It's again been a session of Can Rock and Roll Save America? I'm JC. Thanks for joining us. We're going to try to get a show in at noon today and hope you might join us. Thank you for tuning in.